Lecture 21. Results are mine as I use my stem cells efficiently. Results are mine as I use my stem cells efficiently. I guess I'm supposed to say it again. Results are mine as I use my stem cells efficiently. Santa's gift program to me. Seminar. How I train my genie stem cells. Have we been training our genie stem cells?
Yes.
Yes, we have. Results are mine as I use my stem cells efficiently. I am true to myself. I listen to my stem cell conversation with my inner self. I listen to my stem cell conversation with my inner self. Every dream I have comes true. I let go and let it happen. Sylvia, loudly and clearly, what does a practitioner do? How do you define a practitioner?
A practitioner sees his friends harmonious with the decisions they make for themselves, or creates a friend harmonious with the decisions they make for themselves.
A practitioner is harmonious. A practitioner creates his friends harmonious with the decisions they make for themselves.
Yeah.
A practitioner is harmonious?
Creates his friends.
Oh, creates his friends. That's the phrase that belongs there. A practitioner creates his friends harmonious with the decisions they make for themselves.
Right.
A practitioner is harmonious with the decisions... He's harmonious. He creates his friends harmonious with the decisions they make for themselves. Well, we always had it a little different. How do we say it before?
Before we said, as a practitioner, I heal myself in regards to my friends.
As a practitioner, we've always said, I heal myself in regard to my friend. Something like that?
Yeah.
No. As a practitioner, I heal myself first in regard to my friend, and then I see him as I see myself. So, if a friend comes to you with an illness, and you look at that friend, and you look at him with your pure eyes, with your eyes of love, your eyes of purity, of truth, you see that person whole and perfect. And then you look at that person, and he is. But first, you see yourself whole and perfect. Because if you are sick with any illness, you see your friend who comes to you for practitioner treatment with whatever you are. So you have to be very careful as a practitioner that you don't have illnesses, and that with those illnesses you treat others, because you project your illness upon them. Ha 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 ha. Now, dentist. This is a proven fact. A dentist is working with hypnosis and his patients, and he says, why use laughing gas? Rather use hypnosis and have the patient be unaware of any pain from the drilling or whatever. And so with hypnosis, the dentist hypnotizes the patient, and he lays there or sits there in perfect peace, and the dentist is, yeah, and there's no sensation in the mind of the patient whatsoever. But if the dentist has a cold, the patient often ends up with a cold too. If the dentist has trouble with his wife, the patient goes home and argues with the family too. And you see, it's a psychological thing that's transmitted through hypnosis done under that sort of a commercial basis. And it's something that I have always recommended that people be very cautious about doing. Whatever you do is your business. But we deal as a practitioner with people. We don't deal with hypnosis. We don't hypnotize our people and tell them that they're whole and perfect when they're not or when they are. We just see them with our pure eyes, with the eyes of Jesus as he did. What did Jesus say?
What wouldst thou of me?
Why did Jesus say, what wouldst thou of me?
Because he only saw their perfection. His perfection.
Jesus said, what wouldst thou of me? Because Jesus only saw the people coming to him through his perfect eyes with nothing wrong. No need for any healing. Now, if we can do that, if we can be such pure beings, that's great. Unfortunately, we struggle with it. And we were talking about some cases just before we came off the break, and we were saying how people have thought the practitioner had a responsibility in the healing to make sure that the healing got done. Well, now, do you think that Jesus was beneficial to anybody in healing? When he said to them, it's done unto you according to your belief. He said, my belief is that you're whole and perfect right now. But what is your belief? Is your belief that you're whole and perfect right now? Then so it is. And it was. Is your belief that you're not whole and perfect right now? Then so it is. And it was. You see, even the master of the program that we study said those things in that very beautiful way. We have a tendency to think Jesus went around healing people. He didn't. He didn't. If he went around healing people, the streets outside of his home would be loaded with people who would come in the morning and be healed by noon and go home. Just like we read about some of these people who have magical gifts, and people come by the droves them. What was one of them? John of God? Most amazing fellow. And he still has his operation going on down in Brazil or someplace there. And people come to him, and they line up, and they drink the soup he recommends, and they give him a free meal, even if they don't pay their way. And he takes care of them, and he does a healing incantation over them, and many of them go home healed. Beautiful. Some of them come back for consistent treatment. And now, why do they come back? If he is so good, how come they come back?
Because they don't believe.
They haven't changed their attitude about themselves.
Both of you are right. They don't believe, and they haven't changed their attitude about what the stem cells are doing in them. They think the stem cells are giving them a hard time. Now, does it take more than an instant for healing if you really accept?
No, it doesn't take more.
Mm-mm. It's instantly done. And you see, that's the miracle thing that we're talking about here. That's the miracle, wonderful thing that we're sharing with you guys, is how to experience this if you want. To experience this wholeness. And that's why it's so important for you to be a practitioner. For yourself, as well as for anybody else. So, you got a cold. And you say, I'm whole and perfect, all is whole and perfect. And then the cold is gone. Practitioner, what did Jesus say? Physician?
Heal thyself.
Physician, heal thyself. So dentist, heal yourself. Doctor, heal yourself. You, practitioner, physician. That's what you are as a practitioner, you're a physician. Heal yourself. It's really important, isn't it? What are you doing to my dog? Are you hypnotizing him? He's looking at you. Well, I think he sees something there that you don't see. Ellen? He only does that when he looks at God. Yeah, can you handle that? Okay. I am true to myself. Results are mine as I use my stem cells efficiently. I am true to myself. How are we true to ourselves? What do we do when we're true to ourselves?
We like ourselves.
Huh?
We like ourselves.
We like ourselves. That's exactly true. When we're true to ourselves, we like ourselves. Now, What did Dan hear last night about happiness and integrity? Did he hear that happiness is the journey? More or less. Did he hear that happiness is not something you go for, but it's something that accompanies you on the journey? Happiness is something that, because of your nature, you're happy. And what would the nature be that we must be to be happy?
Our original purity and integrity.
That's really good. Your original purity and integrity, and then you are happy, true. But we can have it before then. Before we are aware of our original purity and integrity. We are happy every time we recognize that our stem cells are blessing us and surrounding us with every good thing, and that when the little children that I told you about, the 100 children sitting on the dirt, looking at the beautiful area and saying, I see the beautiful lawn, the lovely lawn, perfect, beautiful grass, lovely dichondric grass, you know, never needs cutting, always fresh and green, always watered. As they're doing that, what's happening? They are
happy.
Happy. Understand? Yeah. They're happy doing a project, doing something that they are learning to appreciate, learning to respect and love and enjoy. Now, we told you about the one man up in Dakotas there who the Reader's Digest had an article on him. He treated, and he prayed to God in a very traditional way, God, I'd like it to rain on my property. I'd like to have rain on my property. God, thank you very much for the rain on my property. Really appreciate that, boy. I really do, you know. And it rained. It rained. It rained. It rained. It rained throughout the growing season. It rained. And he had abundant crop. To the edge of his property line, which was maybe 500 acres or more, you know. But to the edge, or 1,000 acres, because that's big areas up in Dakotas there. But to the edge of his property line. And his neighbors didn't. And his neighbors naturally came to him and says, hey, buddy, what are you doing here? Let a little overspill on us. And he says, well, I just talked with God and told God what I wanted. And God said, go for it. Be ready to haul in the harvest. And they said, man, you know, sure like to get to know your God. Well, that's right. Your God. But you see, that's what he did. And he reported that to the Reader's Digest, and because everybody was asking the question. But it really happened to him. Amazing situation. And these things happen not more often than we know. More often than we know. Why is it a beautiful bubbling brick, brook, bubbling creek, the bubbling river comes chomping down a person's property in a very arid area? Why is it? Why is it that the Mississippi River runs where it does and the Missouri runs where it does? Big rivers through arid areas. And all along the edge of the river, hundreds of acres, you know, at the edge of the river, not too far in, maybe 50 feet or 100, are all beautifully watered by this water coming down. Interesting, isn't it? Why? And that land belongs to somebody. And somebody's making hay off of that land and doing beautiful things. But you see, it's consciousness. Now, did they have a consciousness, this sounds silly, equal to the man in Dakota who had the thousands of acres under rain? No. They had to be careful because they were at the edge of the river. And they could only go so much and do so much. But you see, we all have this possibility. We all have this possibility. Do you want it? Do you want to live in the recognition of being true to yourself? What do you believe for yourself? Gertrude, in all the world, where are the most magnificent, most desirable, most fantastic grandchildren living?
Naturally mine.
In your home, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, why did you have to add naturally? Did you think we didn't know it was naturally? But that's true. naturally mine. Yeah. And that's true. Now, do you think that Anita thinks that she has the most fantastic nephew in the world? And that he is more glorious than any Jerome or anybody else in the world? Anybody. And yet, she knows he's imperfect. But she doesn't know he's imperfect. She hears people say he does things. And she doesn't hear that as negative. She just hears that as being his own beautiful self. No judgment. And that's beautiful. I am true to myself. I listen to my stem cell conversation with my inner self. Now, how do you have a stem cell conversation with your inner self? Anybody?
Well, giving my stem cell orders, that's the beginning of...
That's hardly a conversation, but...
That's the beginning of the conversation.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And then I just have a talk with them.
Which is nice even before. Hi, you guys. Welcome to my home. It's all yours.
Right.
Just take off and do beautiful things. Return every organ to its original purity and integrity. I think you're just wonderful. So nice of you to come by. So nice of you to be here. Now bring your brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and cousins and everybody else, you know, because this is a big show we're having.
Yeah.
Big show. Because I'm a hugger. And whomever I hug is flooded with my stem cells of purity and goodness. See? And that's the way it always works. What were you going to say, Sylvia?
Don't remember her.
Well, you opened your mouth. No, that's fine.
I always open it, don't I?
That's good. You breathe them. Anybody else have anything to add on that? But you see how that works? It's so perfect and so wonderful. And you think you are a magnificent looking dog, don't you? You make a good door. Better than a window. Rex, sit. Thank you. Appreciate it. You're loved and you're admired right where you are, up or down. You're a big boy. Every dream I have comes true. Now, how do we get our dreams to come true? One word, one phrase. See
it done.
It done. S-I-D. Sid. See it done. See it done. I-I-D. It is done. See it done. Now, how do you see your dream done? How do you see the dream that you have manifest? You play games. You visualize. You use your imagination. You use your inspiration, your intuition. Everything about you, right, Ingeborg?
Yes.
You use everything to see it done, and see it done now, and see it done wonderfully. Now, do you know how to do that?
Yep.
Who's got any imagination for sale? You can take some of my bubbles that fly off of me, but nobody has any imagination for sale. Why? It's your secret treasure chest. Nobody needs to know anything about your dreams. Because the minute you start telling the world about your dreams, they have an opinion about it, and that's not what you want. You don't care if they believe you or not. You don't care if they know that you have a million kids chasing after you. You don't care. Christina? Are you a pet person?
Pet person.
Yeah, you like pets?
Yes.
You have pets around you?
Yes.
Do you attract them to you?
Yes.
I was going to say, if you said no to anything, I'd be surprised, because Rex just loves to come over and sit near you and sit around you and just, you know, even when you don't have cookies for him. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sylvia and Anita, they can't stand pets. So what do the pets do? They just climb all over them.
They want to convince us.
They want to convince them. And how do they do it? They go about loving them to pieces. They kiss them to pieces. They snuggle them to pieces. Yes, Rex, that's what they do. And you love it. And this is how it works. Give love, and it is flooding back. And every dream I have comes true. If your dream is that you are surrounded by beautiful beings, you are. If your dream is that you're surrounded by beautiful pets, you are. If your dream is you have 100 children that you're working with, you don't say, ah! You say, oh! How wonderful! Not because there's numbers, because if you have 100 kids that you're working with, you can be sure you have the talent to handle it. Two teachers in two different rooms, the same grades. One teacher has hell. The other teacher has heaven. Now, why does one teacher have heaven? Because she likes herself as being fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's making a joy out of everything she's doing. The kids just fall in love with her. They don't want to leave after class. They want to stay. And they want to take more time. Now, can you say this about yourself, Can you say you like to be in your own presence? You like to be with yourself? Or do you want to get away from yourself as quick as possible? Turn on the television, read a book, you know. Why do people read these books? It doesn't matter what the book is. Why do they read it? To get out of themselves. To get away from themselves. Why do they watch television? Why do they go and grab the TV screen all the time? Or even DVDs, you know. Why do they do it? They want to escape. Now, why do we do it? All right, Anita, why?
To see the redeeming quality.
She hits the nail on the head, doesn't she? I wonder who said that to her. We watch these things to see the redeeming quality. Now, anyone who's got the answer to this gets $12 million. Think about it. Why do we have life experiences?
To see the redeeming quality.
Exactly. Exactly. Every experience that we have in life is to allow us to see the redeeming qualities in it, find the redeeming aspects of it. That's not judgment. It's just finding the joy and the pleasure and the delight in it. And it's wonderful. Now, do you do that all the time? Yes. And is it fun? Yes. And does it make life worthwhile for you?
Yes.
Yes. And are you willing to do that every moment of your life from now on?
Yes.
Okay, I let go and let it happen. I let go and let it happen. What do we have to do to make it happen?
Nothing.
What if, we let go and let it happen? Isn't that kind of careless? Is it non-responsibility?
No, because we have already solved the right solve.
Oh, you've already thought the right thoughts. Aren't you superior and wonderful? Aren't you fantastic? Yeah. We've already thought the right thoughts, huh? And what are the right thoughts?
It's done.
I like me.
I like
be myself and have fun.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the right thought. Be yourself and have fun. So you let go and you let it happen and you be yourself and you have fun. See how simple it is? Gertrude, are you a marvelous practitioner?
Yes, I am.
And as a marvelous practitioner, do you see all in divine order?
Yes.
And as a marvelous practitioner, do you see Stefan at peace?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You act as though he needs it. Does he need it?
No.
Oh, thank you. Then why are you seeing him at peace?
Because I am at peace.
Ah, so. And remember that. We see ourselves at peace, and then everyone in our world we see at peace. And it's so beautiful. Now, I have given you an opportunity to speak many times and do things. Do any of you have any questions that you want to field at this moment? Probably not. But I know you have had a good time. I know you have had many laughs and many smiles and maybe even a few tears as we shared our ideas and thoughts together. But one thing you can know for sure, I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.